Grace, mercy, and peace be from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text for tonight is from Isaiah chapter 30, verses 15 through 17. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. The year of our Lord 2015 is almost over. And if our Lord doesn't return tonight, we could stand here and wait, I guess, but that would be a waste of time. If he doesn't return tonight, we'll have services tomorrow at 9 a.m. on New Year's Day, the year of our Lord 2016. So tonight is pregnant with prospects of what tomorrow will bring or might bring, but no one knows the future. So let us look back at the past, year and years, and find comfort in our Lord's continued blessings being showered down upon us in our lives individually and our lives corporately here at Pilgrim. This past year, we saw a former charter member of our church, the very first president of our congregation, John Caston, called home to be with Jesus. And with his passing, we have only two charter members left of Pilgrim, Irv and Ruth Mertz. And if you haven't met them, I highly recommend doing so, as their faithfulness is wonderful and overwhelming to see. This past year, we also saw the passing of one of our shortest time members ever. Arnold Schumacher received into membership at our elders' meeting, and that same evening he died, as the Lord called him home as well to his eternal rest. The Lord also called to their eternal rest this past year Carol Kurtz and Keith Astrike. Carol served as, I think she even played organ for a while, but I know she played the piano some for the children for Sunday school and was a choir director here. And Keith Astrike served as an elder and usher. Harlan Hackbarth, who served as our Sunday school superintendent for, it seemed like forever. Lillian Kletzine. Lillian always coming across the street from Meadowbrook when she came to church, when she lived there with her big bonnet on, and came into church just bringing me back to my youth when women wore hats to church. Jack Licknam, who, Lord help us, suffered in silence. And Carrie Stahl, who returned to his Lord before being called home. So let us continue in 2016 to keep these families, the families of these who have been called home, in our prayers, for our Lord gives and our Lord takes away, and we have learned through the Lord to say, "Blessed is the name of the Lord," no matter how painful that may be. 2015 wasn't all only filled with sorrow. We were blessed with the baptisms of Chandler, John Stocker, and the wedding of Leanne and Christopher Haas, and the confirmation of Brendan Brim and Ashley Oleg and Andrew Virchow and Cara Schmidt, along with the addition of 24 new members this past year, as the Lord continues to provide for His church. So I ask you, how would you grade 2015 now that it's about to end? Would you give it a passing grade? Would it get an average grade, or did it just completely fail? I know for many of you it did completely fail. Was it a year full of blessings and ease, or disasters and hardship? Those questions cause us to look at various aspects of our life, such as our physical and emotional health, our economic welfare, our relationships with family members and friends and acquaintances on the job and at school, in our community and at church. And of course, all these questions can lead us, and I hope they do, to examine our own spiritual life and the strength that God provides us through that. Most likely, many of the negative criticisms dominate our memories, perhaps reflecting that sin so prevails and influences our world today that we just can't get away from it. I mean, if I've been asked one time, I've been asked probably 100 times, how can we raise our children in such a horrible time as this? And yet, it's no different than the horrible times that existed when we were raised. It's just more on the news. But God calls us in today's text, this last day of 2015, just as He did His Old Testament chosen people, the children of Israel, to repentantly return to and find secure rest in Him alone, quietly trusting in Him for His faithfulness to us, even though we have often rebelled against Him, even though we have forsook Him during this past year. He reminds us and reassures us that even in the dark, dismal, and despair of this world, when we are often covered and smothered with stormy and unrestrained trials, troubles, and tribulations, and fears, His comforting good news is that Jesus Christ shines the light of our salvation to strengthen our hearts, even though God's people often reject His gracious gifts. Nevertheless, God safeguards and preserves His faithful people. How sad is it, when you really think about it, that God's people so often reject His gracious gifts? Look at the text. "But you were unwilling," Isaiah proclaims to the children of Israel at the end of verse 15. "And you said, 'No,'" verse 16. "We will flee upon horses, therefore you shall flee away, and will ride upon swift steeds, therefore your pursuers shall be swift." In fact, if you want to get the context of this text, I invite you to take your pew Bibles out and turn to page 591, as I'm going to read just a couple of verses from verses 8 through 14. As Isaiah goes on and says, that's page 591 if you're looking. "And now go write it before them on a tablet and inscribe it in a book, that it may be for the time to come as a witness forever." That's never good news. "For they are rebellious people, lying children, children unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, 'Do not see,' and to the prophet, 'Do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy illusions. Leave the way, turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perversiveness and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach in a high wall, bulging out and about to collapse, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. And its breaking is like that of a potter's vessel that is smashed so ruthlessly that among its fragments not a shard is found with which to take fire from the hearth, or to dip up water from this out of the cistern." That's just a fancy way of saying it's crushed, pulverized. This informs us that the Israelites had utterly rejected and rebelled against the very God who desired to defend and protect them. Here again, they say, "To the seer, do not see, and to the prophet, do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things, prophesy illusions. Leave the way, turn aside from the path, let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel." Why, that sounds like a church growth seminar, where pastors and churches pay good money to specialists who will tell us how to grow the church, and they tell us to do exactly the things that Isaiah was telling the people that they were telling God. See how they display their sinfulness, their sinful reliance on themselves? It sounds all too familiar, doesn't it? Our sinful nature leads us to reject even our own Creator. The old Adam is nothing more than a self-centered, arrogant, prideful brat. And, well, a spanking won't quite work. This beast, it has to be drowned. It's Satan's deceptive effort that tempts us to deny God's reality and to despise his divine authority. You were taught in confirmation that sin is every thought, desire, word, and deed which is contrary to God's law. St. Paul explains it this way in Romans 8. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. We not only reject God and His authority over us, but our sinful nature makes us want to trust the Creator's creation rather than the Creator. Think about it. Satan tries to lure us into trusting what God has provided for us instead of trusting in the Provider Himself. That would include such things, but not limited to our intelligence, our skills, our understandings, our abilities. Why, we even put our trust in material things that we buy, as well as we put our trust in the great and powerful I. This is what St. Paul is talking about when he wrote in Romans chapter 1. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Isaiah addresses this in the first verse of our text. The first verse of our chapter of our text, in verse 1, if you still have it opened, Isaiah says, "Woe." There's that worry word that should wake us up. "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many and in horsemen because they are very strong, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or consult the Lord." If we do one thing right in 2015, it should be that we repent of these sins and many more. The sins of our own in our individual lives and the sins that we have similar to these collectively as a congregation. By recognizing, by grieving, by confessing them, and then by receiving God's forgiveness for them. And striving by the power of the Holy Spirit alone to replace them with divinely directed holy living according to God's holy word. Let's do so gratefully, rejoicing that God's comforting good news is that Jesus Christ is our salvation. He is the light that shines into our darkness. He is the one who came to redeem people such as us. People who even reject His gracious gifts. Nevertheless, God is faithful. Isaiah says it this way in verse 15. "For thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and in trust shall be your strength." Luther, I got a kick out of Luther's translation of this. He said... He put it this way, "If you will sit down and be quiet, you will be saved." Which is just a nice way that we would say today, sit down, shut up, and God's in control. Luther continues, or perhaps, as he writes in the Catechism, "He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this He does out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me." By waiting and trusting, they're not things that we're very gifted at. We want to take matters into our own hands. So I ask you, how's that working for you? It doesn't work very well for me, I can tell you that much. Every time I try to take matters into my own hands, I simply make matters worse. So the next time someone tries to scare you about the future, remember to look back at the past. Look back at the past and see the Lord's provision and see that He never forgets you. He never abandons you. He will not allow anything to separate you from Him. God is almighty and He is all-knowing. He has promised to be with you always to the very end of the age, even when it meant that God would become flesh and die on a cross for us, so that we could be with Him for the very end of the age. So return to the Lord. Sit down. Be quiet. And you will be saved. This is what our merciful God does to us in His blessed sacraments of the holy baptism, in which He claims us as His own and marks us with Christ's cross, thereby connecting us with the death and resurrection of Jesus, our Savior. It is what He reinstates. Or He restates, excuse me, in Holy Communion, in which He gives us His real body and blood, in with and under, simple elements of bread and wine that have been joined to His words and promises, the powerful Word of God. And there He assures us of the forgiveness of our sins, salvation, and eternal life that were gained for us by Jesus alone, by His suffering, by His death, and His glorious resurrection and defeat of Satan and sin and death itself. This is why St. Paul can confess so clearly in our text today that trust. If God is for us, who can be against us? It is God who justifies. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This means that no matter what sins, what sorrows, what weaknesses or failures any of us experienced this past year, we can surely and securely rest in the fact that neither they nor anything else can anything else in the year to come can separate us from God's love for us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because of that, we can look back at 2015's blessings and disasters, beauty and ugliness, ease and hardship, knowing that God resolves to be with us and keep us as His own. And He does not rest on that. It doesn't rest on what we've experienced. It doesn't rest on how it makes us feel. It simply rests on the fact that God has said it. It is His trustworthy word alone that proclaims it and makes it so for you and me. He has spoken it into being just as He did creation. This faith alone enables us to heed the words of Jesus and to be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that no one expects. So let us learn from Isaiah that we are to be ones who return and rest so that we may be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be our strength. For Jesus the Christ is the light that shines our salvation and our strength, even though God's people have often rejected His gracious gifts. Nevertheless, God safeguards and preserves His faithful people. We have nothing to fear from 2016. For God is with us always, even to the end of the age. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.